Savior with them. Well, I need to give you some greetings. I talked to Marcus. We were texting back and forth. And Marcus's nickname is Cornelius of the Italian band. He's a faithful brother. But he wanted to say hello and greet everyone. And Michelle also and the kids. So just send the greeting to you. Today we'll be in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. The name of the message is a question with the answer. Question with the answer. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 27 and going to 33. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Verse 28, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of man? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Here before us, we have the religious leaders of the day, right? The religious leaders of the day. And they're coming, and they're questioning the Lord of glory, the King of Kings. By what authority does he have to do these things? They are trying to ensnare our great King by asking him this question. As I said, this is none other than the Lord of glory. He knows their thoughts. He knows their intents. And they are all asking the Lord of glory. And think of this. They're asking him, they're questioning him, where do you get this authority from? And I imagine they did it with vehemence probably. And he's not answerable to anyone. They're asking the question of one who all men are answerable to. He's not answerable to them. This is a challenge to our great King. They were the religious leaders of the day, the who's who of the day. And they did not condone his teaching. Since they did not condone or endorse the teaching of Christ, they believed he didn't have any business teaching. Because they were the authority, so they thought. They believed that they had all the authority and that they must give it to him or others in order for them to be able to preach or teach. And nothing's changed today. Folks believe that a preacher has to go to this seminary or that seminary in order to be able to preach. Beloved God, we believe that God raises up his preachers. He raises them up as he sees fit. And it happens right amongst the churches. The preacher's authority comes from God when he calls him to preach the gospel. And equips him to do so. So these religious hucksters come to our great King and they're challenging his authority. They're challenging his authority. They're challenging the fact that, why are you teaching? Who gave you permission? Who gave you the authority to do this? And like I say, they're nothing but hucksters. They're nothing but religious. They're blind, leading the blind. Verse 20 says, 7, and they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now these aren't just ordinary teachers. He said, this is the who's who. But here before us, we have the sworn enemies of the Lord. They hate him. They hate Christ and his teachings. And they're confronting him in a public place. Think of that too. They're confronting him right in a public place. Look what they say in verse 28. And they say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee the authority to do these things? They're so full of pride and self-righteousness. One of the commentators mentioned that perhaps they sought to silence Christ by confronting him in public. They hoped that it would put an end to his preaching. Oh, but beloved, no man can thwart the Lord of glory. No man can thwart his divine decrees. He had done many miracles. He healed the blind. He cured the sick. And remember, too, he'd also driven all them sellers from the temple, hadn't he? And that probably made them madder than a wet horn. They were probably ticked right off. Because I imagine they got gain from that, right? They probably made money from that. A little bit on the side, probably. And no doubt he was walking in the temple with his disciples and probably other folks with him and teaching them. Because during this time it was normal for a teacher to have his students or his disciples close by. And he would teach while they were walking. That's how they did it in those days. He taught as he walked. And so our Lord was going about teaching and preaching to his disciples. And these men question him as he's entering into the temple. Look at verse 28 again. And say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? It just drips self-righteousness. They're questioning the Lord. Think of this too. They're questioning the Lord of the temple as he's going into the temple. They're questioning the Lord of the temple as he's entering into it. And they're questioning by what authority he has to enter, to teach and preach. What does this teach us? This teaches us that unless Christ reveals himself to man, they won't even know him. They have no idea who he is. They think he's just a good teacher or a teacher, but actually they hate him. They don't even think he's a good teacher. They hate him. They despise him. But unless Christ reveals himself to a man, no one will know him. And think of this. These men were masters of Israel. These men were the teachers of Israel. The blind leading the blind. The blind leading the blind. And they're questioning the one who has all authority and who has all dominion. And he answers to no one, but they're questioning him. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. He has all authority, beloved, in the church and in the kingdom of God. He is a king majestic, and he rules. He is the mighty God. And they don't know him, and they hate him. John chapter 5, verse 24 to 27. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him. Do you believe on Christ? hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Oh, Christ paid all that God demanded for his people, and they shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, the dead spiritually shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear, they that are given ears to hear, shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Look at verse 27. And hath given him authority. There's where Christ's authority came from. To execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So these religious hucksters believed that they had the authority to authorize someone to speak for God. That if they didn't authorize it, then you can't speak for God. Well, they sound like a church of today where billions attend. And this harlot church claims that she has the authority to pardon sins and to mete out forgiveness. The Catholic Church has deceived many and still does today. Still does today. I know I came out of that. Praise be to God, he saved me from that. It's deceiving many and leading her followers straight to hell. Beloved, salvation and forgiveness of sins are only found in Christ and him alone. And we are redeemed by his precious blood, not by silver and gold. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is not in the church. It's in Christ, in him alone. Brother Roy told me about a Catholic author who was raising up $2 million to supposedly get souls out of purgatory. So I looked it up. And this is what it said. She says the best way to get someone out of punishment is to have a Gregorian Mass said. The next best thing is a rosary. She also recommends the Stations of the Cross because you get indulgences when you practice this devotion. When asked what happens if you keep having masses said and the person's already out of purgatory, she responded, the common answer is that God will apply those masses to other souls in purgatory or to most in need souls in your family. When asked why to have masses for the dead, she answered, because God's justice demands expiation of their sins. Christ told that his mercy did not want to send the soul to purgatory, but his justice demands it. End quote. Works, 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 works. What fallacy, what lies. You see, the same thing is being promoted. They supposedly have the authority. You know, nowhere in this precious word is the imaginary place of purgatory even mentioned. It was a way for the Catholic Church to grab more money from people during the Dark Ages. And it hasn't changed today. They're still doing it. The Catholic Church has not ever changed. It still steals money from folks even today, promoting this imaginary false place called purgatory. Does the Bible ever mention a place where souls are purified before they can enter into his glory? No, not at all. There's no middle ground or purification station. All sinners are saved by the grace of God in Christ. They either go to heaven, All saved sinners by the grace of Christ go to heaven, and all unsaved sinners go to hell. That's the bottom line. That's what happens, beloved. We are only saved by the grace of God in Christ. We who have believed. Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. Turn with me if you would there. There's no in-between place, is there? No in-between place at all. I was talking to someone who's a Catholic this week. Someone very dear to me. And they told me, Wayne, I hope when I get to heaven that God won't send me out. This was my mom. And I said, Mom, she goes, because I'm horrible. I said, Mom, there's only salvation in Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. And He won't cast any out who are in Him. And her response again was, well, looking to herself, well, I hope I'm good enough. I said, there's none of us are good. That's why we need a Savior. We need Christ. But see, this church has deceived so many people. Beloved, if you're saved and you die, you go to heaven. Look what it says here about the dying thief, right? And he said unto Jesus, Luke 23, 42 and 43, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Just remember me. Just remember me. He's not saying, well, I hope that you're letting me in. He knows what he is. He knows he's a sinner. He said, we're here justly, but not this man. Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today! Oh, it's marvelous. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Salvation is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. If you're ever saved, it's all God. If you're lost, it's all you. But salvation is in Christ and in Him alone. God having mercy upon sinners in Christ. What wondrous love this is. What wondrous love. So we see before us these self-righteous leaders questioning our Lord about who He has received the authority from to preach and teach. The Lord does not answer them their question. He asked them a question back. Now think of this. In religion, it's often spoken that the Lord is, oh, He's trying to save folks. He's doing His best. I read some guy, I threw the book away. It said, at the cross, God did His best and man did His worst. Whew. Goodbye. I don't even want to read anymore of that one. Come on. God did it all. Christ did it all. And He accomplished it. It is finished. It's finished. But in religion, they represent that the Lord of glory is bending over backward, trying to accommodate man in every possible way. Oh, He just wants to save you. Oh, if you let Him. If you're saved, give Him all the glory and honor and praise, because you never would have come to Him on your own. We are in the dust. Lord, thy God, You saved me. Oh, they make God seem like He's anxious. He's not anxious. He's the Lord of glory. And He's in full control. So does He answer their question? Well, here in our text, He does not evade the question, but He asks the question back. Look at verse 29. He will answer their question if they answer His question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question and answer me. And I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. He's turned the tables right around on them. Think of this too. The King of Glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, condescended and became a man. Fully man and fully God. And they're before him right here, asking him by what authority he has to preach and teach. The question is, again, is the Lord Jesus Christ answerable to any man? No. We are answerable to him. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. He is in no way answerable to man. And he came to call sinners to repentance, not the self-righteous one like these scribes and Pharisees who come before him and these teachers who come before him. They're just plumb full of self-righteousness. Look what Matthew 9:11 says to 13. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eat your master with publicans and sinners?" Oh, I could just hear them saying that. I'm thankful our Lord eats and drinks with publicans and sinners, because I'm a sinner. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that behold need not a physician." See, if you think that you're okay, I don't have anything for you. And I've heard preachers say this too many times. We don't have anything for you. But if you're a sinner and you're in desperate need of Christ, oh, this gospel is wonderful. Wonderful. "They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick." Are you a soul sick sinner? I am. I need Christ. Desperately. I desperately need him. "They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth." They didn't have a clue. Look at, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He didn't come to call the self-righteous, those who think they don't need him, but sinners. Oh, may God show you that you're a sinner. May the Holy Ghost reveal to you that you're a sinner and that you desperately need Christ. That's what he's done for every one of us who are saved. And we're still sinners, to our shame, but we're saved sinners. So here again in our text, the religious leaders come and question our great king. But he does not answer their question. He turns it around on them by asking them one question. Let's look to our text again. We'll look at 29 and 30. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of man? Answer me." What wisdom? What wisdom is here in our Lord's reply? Our Lord's question to them. He points his enemies to John the Baptist. He points his enemies to John the Baptist. And we'll see as the text unfolds. And the question might be, why did he do this? Well, we're going to see see the answer as the text unfolds before us. Those to whom he had been preaching and teaching would have heard this question too. They would have heard this question asked by the Lord's enemies. Now, these guys are in a pickle now. They're going to get twisted right up. They're going to get twisted right up before our eyes. If they admit that John's ministry was of divine appointment and therefore had divine authority, then they would have to acknowledge Christ's authority. The reason this would be the case is John's office and ministry pointed right to Christ. So now they're in a fix. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. They're in a fix. John chapter 1. verse 19 to 30. John's office and ministry pointed right to Christ. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." It said the prophet Isaiah. "And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Isaiah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." Oh, you don't know him. Christ must reveal himself. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." John's ministry pointed right to Christ, and he just declared that Christ was the Messiah in our text there. So now, these religious hucksters couldn't deny John the Baptist's ministry, could they? But they couldn't condone it either. So they're left speechless, and then they go and reason amongst themselves. I'm going to conspire a little bit here. Try to figure out what's... Like I said, they're in a pickle. They don't know what to do. And they knew that they couldn't answer the question. Our Lord has imposed his authority upon them. Right before us. And look, after asking this question, the Lord Jesus Christ puts the proper perspective on the whole matter with two powerful words. Look in verse 30. "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me." He is in no way answerable to them or to us. But we are absolutely, and they were absolutely answerable to him. We owe Christ an explanation for our sin and treachery. He's a holy and just God. His justice has a claim upon all sinners. All. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 40. God speaks to Job in a similar language. Job chapter 40, verse 1 to 5. We'll see Job's answer in verse 4 as the answer of a sinner. "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" Who's going to instruct the Almighty God? No one. "He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I'm vile. I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." Silenced. "Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." And look at verse 2 in light of, look at verse 2 in Job in light of these scribes and leaders coming to Christ and asking him, by what authority shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. The true sinner sees himself before God, and we have nothing to say. We have no defense. We reply like Job, I'm vile. You and I stand before the Father and He demands an answer from us. Our only hope is Christ. It's Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at the last few verses in our text. Mark 11, verse 31 and 32. And he reasoned with himself, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe? But if we shall say of man, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. As I said, they probably withdrew a little ways away, talked amongst themselves, reasoned within their own minds, and they're tied up in knots. They're tied up in knots. Because if they say from heaven, then they're saying that the ministry of John and the baptism of John were by divine appointment. And this would be condoning Christ's ministry as well, because he spoke of Christ. Why then did ye not believe him? They knew that this would be the question. If they said John had divine authority, why would you reject God's preacher and God's Messiah? So if they said John had divine authority, again, they would have to admit that Jesus was the Messiah, who John bore witness to. This would be the answer to the question which they had asked. And it would be the end of it. But they didn't believe that Christ was the Messiah. Look at verse 32 again. And this is the very thing that our Lord had in view in asking the question. But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. Now here they feared man more than God. They feared that they would lose their position, that they would lose their power. I read today, God's preachers are not the fear. We are to preach and proclaim the truth of God, the truth of salvation in Christ alone, and not fear any man. But oh, these teachers are put on the spot. If they said John's authority came from man, then the people would rise up against them. As the common people believed, John was sent from God, not from man. They believed that he had authority from God. They believed that God had raised him up and had given him the authority and the commission to preach and teach and baptize. So these, they're in a corner now with no way of escaping. And then they plead ignorance. They plead ignorance, which is a lie and no defense. Look at verse 33. And our Lord will also answer them in this verse. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. These men show us their spiritual blindness and their hatred for Christ by their answer. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. So our great King, having said he would answer their question if they answered his. And remember, he's under no obligation to answer them at all. But he shows us that his authority did not come from man, but from God. These men had approached Christ with a great show of supposed authority. They come to him with a great show of supposed authority, full of pride and self-righteousness. They came before Christ in the crowd of people with him, some of them no doubt who had looked to them in the past for religious guidance. And here before them, they have to admit that they could not tell if someone was sent from God or not. They're made to look utterly foolish. And how angry this must have made them. They're showing that they're shams. They're devoid of the things of Christ. They cannot answer this question. They're devoid of spiritual understanding. They're masters of Israel. The blind leading the blind. And they knew that by implication, Jesus' authority had been vindicated in front of the crowd. All knew that he and John had ministered alongside each other. And by his reply, the Lord Jesus Christ was setting himself up as the higher authority, answerable only to God and not answerable to any man. These questioners had shown that they were unqualified of judging Christ or spiritual things. And the whole incident was reminding the people of what John had said about Christ. It was a veiled reminder that he was the coming one. Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin, takes all the sins of his people, puts them away. The question with the answer twisted up these works mongers. They had no reply. The answer within the question, our great King's authority came from God. He was God manifest in the flesh. All power and dominion in his hand. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the sinner's Savior.